let you know if you're not at County 46 Burn, you're in the wrong spot.
Two dozen yellow-clad firefighters are getting their final instructions before setting alight more than 100 acres of slash on the northern side of Gunflint Lake. This is the first prescribed burn of the season along the Gunflint. A year ago, this land was alive with a green cloak of pine and aspen trees. Now it's a mess of bulldozer tracks and dry branches, the leftover from salvage logging, which removed tons of tangles from the rock-strewn hillside. Yellow flames quickly spring into a crackling fire that explodes through the few standing small pine trees, the only survivors of last July's 90-mile-an-hour winds. Burn boss Bill Swope talks about the blowdown that's turned much of the region's forest into a dangerous pile of broken wood.
I don't remember seeing anything that's this vast of area and this much stuff on the ground. It's incredible. There's stuff everywhere, and it's just it's the worst I've ever seen.
The firefighters are being extra cautious, aware of how the Los Alamos fire spread from a similar prescribed fire. They're avoiding large wood piles that could burn for a month if they catch light. The slash burns quickly and easily, a predictor of how intensely this forest could burn when wildfire breaks out.
Is all you need is the right day and to get an ignition start. You need to, if you get the right wind and temperatures and relative humidity, it's going to go.
And when it goes, it will be big. The blowdown cuts for 35 miles through the heart of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, an area that can draw 5,000 campers on a summer day. Paul Tenay is the Superior National Forest fire expert. He's seen many blowdowns, but never one this extensive.
It's hard to describe what it's like to be standing in the middle of this stuff and have, in some cases, it might be over your head, stacked up over your head, another 4 or 5 feet, something on the order of 70 tons per acre laying out there on the ground that's available to burn or will become available to burn as it dries out over time.
This fire would be like nothing seen here in 100 years. Experts warn about plume-dominated fire, fire with so much fuel that it builds a column of heat and smoke high into the atmosphere and drops burning embers miles away. That's the kind of fire that roared through Yellowstone Park in 1988. Tenay says plume fires create their own blast of wind and can roll in every direction regardless of weather.
With a wind-driven fire, you know where the fire is going. But with a plume-dominated fire, when you get these downdrafts, there's really no place on that fire that's safe for a firefighter to be.
Emergency officials are preparing for the inevitable. Large aircraft have been positioned at regional airports to hit fire with water and chemicals, hoping they can maybe control it before it becomes unstoppable. Tenay says the firefight would be from the air.
You don't even dare put people into that situation. You can't get into an area without cutting your way into it.
And when it burns, it's not going to stay in the Canoe Area Wilderness. Prevailing winds would nudge fire toward dozens of resorts and hundreds of homes and cabins lining the Gunflint Trail. The trail is actually a two-lane highway snaking through 45 miles of forest from Lake Superior to its dead end just shy of the Canadian border. State and county officials are making plans for mass evacuations, trying to figure out how to warn and move thousands of people along very few roads. Radio signals barely penetrate the wilderness, and cell phones are useless. Canoe campers can be several days from civilization and completely out of touch. That worries Cook County Sheriff David Wirt.
We have to go door to door. We have to go campsite to campsite. And that simply is too time consuming in an evacuation situation.
New radio transmitters might be in place this fall to beam emergency warnings into the region. Meanwhile, resorts and homeowners along the Gunflint Trail are installing elaborate water sprinklers, preparing to tap into the region's lakes and streams to soak acres of property. The trail's fire department assistant chief, George Carlson, demonstrates the sprinklers just installed at the Rockwood Lodge. 5 pumps and more than 60 sprinkler heads drench the resort's 15 buildings.
The temperature drops right away, and we're like in a rain shower. I mean, basically, we're emulating Mother Nature's best mitigator for wildfire, rainfall.
The sprinklers lower temperatures, raise humidity, and saturate property, alleviating the main threats to buildings and wildfires.
The two reasons why structures burn from wildfire is because the roofs ignite or the windows break and burning embers blow into the building.
The Rural Fire Department has also purchased portable sprinklers they can turn loose on a fire line or use to protect buildings. But the effort takes money. The federal and state governments have committed millions of dollars for storm cleanup and fire preparation. But the Superior National Forest will need millions more to maintain preparedness for several years. Minnesota U.S. Senator Rod Grams is trying to guide another $9 million through the Senate to help clear down trees and repair storm damage.
You know, we're not going to stop this fire. We're not going to keep it from happening. It's going to happen. There's going to be a tremendous burn across northern Minnesota. I think the thing we've got to worry about is what preventions we can put in place to minimize the damage that can occur from this.
It would take unusually wet weather to hold back the fire risk. But the weather's been dry, with little snowfall for the past two winters. Spring rains have cut the risk temporarily, but summer heat will soon return, and with it the chance of major fire in northern Minnesota. In Duluth, I'm Bob Kelleher, Minnesota Public Radio.